Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. At Right Choice Services, we develop individualized programs to help clients find that book inside of them they have always wanted to write. I am your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the writing they engage in as part of their work. My co-host and producer for Right Here, Right Now is Andy Lowe, and Andy has his own show, Renegade Radio, on Business Radio X. Boy, that's what we call onomatopoeia, you know, Renegade Radio on Business Radio X. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, and you sound extra chipper this morning, so you must have had a great weekend.
I did. I didn't have to go to the Cater Book Festival and sit through 2 days, but I went down on Saturday with my wife and with one of our house guests, and we just had a delightful time.
Well, great. Well, like I said, I'm sitting here, I'm watching the volume levels, and I'm like, wow, he's really upbeat today.
I'm on.
The energy's high.
Well, you took a short bike ride this weekend too, right?
Just 100 miles this weekend.
Yeah. I can't fathom 100 miles of anything on foot, only in a car. But you're looking good for it.
Hanging in there. Didn't get
the better of you, did it?
No, sir. Hanging in there.
Great. Well, life coaching, career coaching, all kinds of coaching have emerged over the past decade, and we look for people who can help us become better at what we do in business, or in our careers, or in some aspect of our lives. Today, we have two coaches with us, Catherine Kammer and Peter Vajda. Now, Catherine, she goes by Kit. Kammer is an international leadership team and career coach. Her journey to helping thousands of individuals realize their performance potential and achieve their dream jobs began with her studies at, those of you who are not within the Southeast Conference area, I have to say Louisiana State University, not just LSU, right? And a bachelor's degree in music education, followed by an MS in business administration. Kit has a long and impressive career in leadership development and outplacement, and her company is Kammer & Associates. Continual growth in his own life is important for Peter Vajda. Peter holds a PhD in cognitive psychology, but he feels it's important to continue reading, studying, and learning. He's been a professor, manager of instructional design departments, and a life coach. He describes himself as chief guide at True North Partnering, where he focuses on supporting individuals as they work through and overcome personal barriers and obstacles that get in the way of their experiencing success, happiness, confidence, and control. I forgot to mention to you guys before we went on air that I interview them one at a time, and then I'll open up the mic, okay? And I have a ladies first policy. So, Peter, you get to sit back and relax. Kit Kammer, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
As I was doing my opening, I was struck by the fact that you have written a book that includes elevator speeches. How did I do?
Oh, you... I would call you an old pro. That space beautifully.
At Right Choice Services, we develop individualized programs. I didn't think about that until we're on air, but oh well. Well, tell us about Kammer & Associates. What does it do?
What does it do? It provides two major things. One of them is leadership coaching, leadership and performance coaching. The other one is career transition coaching. And we've done this for over 19 years. And someday we're going to get it right.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, there's always that goal, that nirvana that's sitting out there. What's the difference between leadership coaching and career coaching, I think you said?
Well, anyone can have a career, but not everyone wants to be a leader.
Okay.
And also there's management thrown in there too. So it depends on whether they've got people that report to them or whether they just want... You could be a leader and not have management responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And does that explain that?
Well, do people come to you for one and wind up with the other, or do they even know why, other than the fact they need help, do they know why they're coming to you?
Well, often they come with what they think is in their way, mm-hmm. and then we discover maybe that's it, or maybe there are components of that need to be addressed, or maybe there are several other things that need to be looked at.
Okay.
And that's the fun of having a little bit of background in this, that you have a chance to guide them.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you the question that you've probably answered more times than you even want to think about. How do you go from a bachelor's degree in music into career coaching?
Oh, I always say, everybody asks me about how I got to be a coach, because I was coaching before coaching was cool. And I said the basic ingredient is insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you have to have dealt with yourself. You have to have gone through assessment. You mm-hmm. have to have found out. You have to have studied, and you have to have a good background to be able to listen with a listening that is insightful.
Okay.
That helps.
So then how did you get from there into what you're doing?
That's a good question. I was in...
I try to ask good questions. See, my assumption is that you did not really wake up one day and say, okay, I'm going to be a career coach.
It was one of my professors in my graduate work.
Wow.
Who was in the profession of coaching, who heard in me the potential to be a good mm-hmm. coach, and he said, come with me. I think you need to interview for this line of work, and that was it. And that's the old networking game, and that's what I coach to every day.
And it worked.
Absolutely.
See, beyond just talking about eventually about writing on this program with all of who come in, so many of my guests have done career transitions or just flat out, not even transition, we just full stop and start. And I like to lift that up because I think it's important for people to know that you can do it. And not only can you do it, but you can concede. Well, what's your area of specialization? We talked about leadership. We talked about career transition. Is that what you specialize in? Is there a particular industry you like to work with?
There's no particular industry, either in the career direction or in the coaching. Although I will say I have spent most of my executive coaching career managing C-level,
mm-hmm.
senior managers, and managers. That's most of my background, because that's the corporate background. The career coaching came out of doing the corporate work so long
mm-hmm.
that my clients sent me their neighbors, their colleagues, their bosses, their moms and dads, their aunts and uncles, and that became the career transition piece.
They came to you first and then sent
they
them.
Came
I'm,
to
I want to stress that, because it wasn't like, I'm going to fix you and you and you, and then
well, first
my life will be better.
I want to be real clear about the word fix. I don't fix anybody.
I understand.
All right. Is that what I do is with the information that I have is to listen carefully
mm-hmm.
and to guide them. My theory on adults is that adults have answers.
Okay.
And the good coach knows how to get those answers. You mm-hmm. you know the 50 to 150 questions on the initial meeting that you need to have.
Oh my.
To start bringing them out.
There you go.
Just like you do with all your guests.
Well, that's it. And I should tell my listeners that virtually everybody who comes on the show wants to know what I'm going to ask in advance, and my answer is don't have a clue.
I did just that, didn't I?
and then it's a but, and I said, trust me. But then again, I figure people, if they really want to do homework, will listen to previous broadcasts and get a hint, but we don't mention that to anybody. You wrote a book, didn't you?
I did, just this year it got published.
And it's called?
It's called New Work, as one word. One W.
And it's spelled with an O, not an A.
That's correct. It's not, that's right. It's not New Jersey.
It's not the city of New Jersey.
It's
New Work. New Work.
And it came to me in a dream.
Okay. And how did you come about to write that? Why?
The workbook that Cameron Associates has used for mm-hmm. Almost 19 years was one that was always effective but needed to go public.
Uh-huh.
And in going public, we just slashed the manual. We rewrote it. We reemphasized it. We got into the social networking, which is the mm-hmm. masterpiece of today, and made it a manual that's useful to any age, any occupation.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of white space in there.
On purpose. It's a workbook.
I wanted to give you that chance. I didn't want people to say, I'm going to buy that book and read and be done with it. You really get in their face, don't you?
Well, it's we don't have long stories in there, and people don't have a lot of time. When people need to be thinking about other careers or they need to be changing a job, they need for someone, and the someone is the book, to sit down with them and have short paragraphs and get to work on it. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes over how many hours a day a typical American watches television. It goes into how many people fudge information on their resumes.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And my readers will not be those people. Because there are a couple of examples of people who've gotten caught in that and have lost wonderful careers over that. Oh, yes.
Well, you know, part of Right Choice Services, in addition to helping people write books, we do have a resume division. And when I do a workshop on writing resumes, I tell people that I will not lie for them, and they better not lie to me, and that everything we put in there has to be substantiated. Do we make the statement strong? Absolutely, but never any stronger than what they're willing to stand up for and show me proof of.
Oh, I used to have a vice president who would come to my office door almost every morning, and he'd lean against the door frame, and he'd say, "Now, Kit, can I just put that I finished my degree?" And I said, "No, not through this shop. You can always produce it yourself, but not through this shop."
Yeah.
And those were the days just before the computers, before we all got computers. And of course, nowadays he could do whatever he wanted with it. But through our shop, no, it was not. It was just not possible for him to do it, because I would not want someone to catch him in that.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you also give exercises in here on crafting an elevator speech. What do you think, from your perspective, what's the biggest mistake people make with an elevator speech?
Is to think that someone really wants to hear their long story. And I have a friend who's a recruiter who would sit back in her chair. She'd sit back and get comfortable, and she'd say, "Now, just want, looking at the client, say, I want you to get comfortable." And that person, unfortunately, would. And my friend would say, "Now, tell me about yourself." And they would launch into a story about how pitiful their life has been over the past 2 months. They've just gotten to Atlanta, boyfriend just left them, and they didn't get the apartment they wanted. And she said by the time they were through, she was real clear that they could not be introduced to a company.
Wow.
And she had a rating sheet. She would see them to the door. She'd come back to her desk and rate them immediately, because she had several of these interviews to conduct every day. But they were out.
Wow.
If you're not ready to do 2 minutes or less, which is about the time for a commercial, right?
Oh, absolutely.
On TV. That's that's all the time you've got. And if you're not ready with it, and it's not impactful and relatively filled with energy, you're nowhere. Because you're competing against, you're in a tough market and you're competing.
Well, when I lead workshops as well on elevator speeches, I always begin and I pick two people. First, I ask everybody, how many of you have given an elevator speech? And, you know, hands go up. And then I say, how many of you are afraid to raise your hand? And then some more hands go up. You know? But I pick two and I say, okay, you've got 30 seconds. You give your elevator speech to that person, and they're off and running. And I call time after 30 seconds, and then I go around the room and say, so what does that person want to do? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get deer in headlight looks. Mm-hmm. Other times I get five or six different. And sometimes I get, don't have a clue.
Right.
And that's just it. Most people, from my experience, focus on what they used to be as opposed to what they want to be.
Correct. Correct. And then they got it. Then the room has the opportunity to get it.
Andy is poised. He's before poised. The mic. That's that look that says, I want to say something.
Well, there's all kinds of questions I have in here. I actually want to back up a step before I ask a question about the elevator speech part. I want to go to this career transition part. We're talking about resumes. I mean, in the business world that we're seeing today, with so many people out there looking for work, we've got people with vast skill sets. We've got people that have paper skill sets that don't match what they actually are able to do because and I'm going to pick on salespeople, for example, because we got people, oh, I'm a great salesperson. No, you were an order taker for the last 4 years, right? So anyway, don't get me started there. But how do you separate yourself when you've got companies getting millions of, like Google, I think, got what, 2 million resumes last year or 3 million? It was something ridiculous. But, you know, you're just a stack of papers. I mean, resumes used to be really important because people looked at them. Now, they just grab a stack and kind of sort through them. If you want to stand out and make a career transition, Kit, how do you do it?
Well, Monster's got 40 million resumes on it. So first off, if you just want to put something that you've created freehand onto Monster, you don't have much of a chance. The wonderful thing called the resume, this I wanted to talk to Dr. Tim about because I did listen to one of his shows, and he remarked on the writing of resumes and how the client is transformed, not when with the finished resume, but just when we hand them the first rough draft, the first professionally devised and edited rough draft of the resume is when the energy, their aura, their whole opinion of themselves radically changes because they see that they are viable, and it doesn't matter what their careers were. You know, we have a lot of career changers, and we have people who are continuing in the same area, the same industry, which makes it easy. And by the way, salespeople are the second easiest people to sell themselves in interviews. That you just have to get them to say the right words. They have to know who the listener is, and they have to have done their homework on that. But the resumes, powerful. And then you have the question to them, do they really want to use Monster? Mm-hmm. Do they understand how to use the internet? Do they understand how to do smart networking and differentiate themselves? I mean, wouldn't you rather, if someone were interviewing or someone were looking at resumes and they culled it down to 5 resumes, wouldn't you rather that someone in that company came and brought your resume and said, I have a fellow here who's outstanding and I can speak wonderful things, and if we bring him on board, we're going to advance in such and such. That's going to speak volumes more than resumes. But your resume, remember, your resume is to get the interview. The interview gets the job. So it's there are tricks and refinements to all of these instruments. Yeah.
Now you brushed across my second question, which is back on the elevator speech, and I want you to see if you can expand a little here. And that's the idea of doing your homework. A lot of people do an elevator speech. It's a pet peeve of mine, and they have one. They have one elevator speech, and they just spew it to anybody that'll listen. But yet, they never think about, who am I talking to? Who's my audience? How important is it to do your homework and know who you're talking to and be able to cater that elevator speech so that that person cares?
Well, now it's in the book, which is really cool, because what we did was we took the elevator speech, which you know is very brief. It could be 15 seconds. It could be 30 seconds. It's the time that you would spend going from one floor to the next in an elevator. And sometimes that's all you have, maybe at a conference or whatever, to pique someone's interest. But the two-minute drill is 2 minutes worth of calculated positioning of information, which any of those pieces of information can be taken out and given to the listener. So what you do is, in doing the research of who your listener is, what his interests are, she might be interested in, and the other thing is listening for why they're asking you these questions, is directing that 2 minutes or the 30 seconds to the listener. That you're actually either responding to what you've heard or you're anticipating from what you've found, there is information to be had on everybody. LinkedIn, Facebook, just Googling somebody, and articles.com, we've used for years, find out what the company's doing, who their clients are, what it is, have they lost any business, how do they win their business, all of that, make yourself different. Yeah.
Do you have any other books on the horizon, do you think, out of what you've been doing?
Oh, my goodness. It may be blogging for a while.
Uh-huh. when you did write, what was the biggest challenge for you?
I think keeping my spirit up.
Ah.
Because I think you are a born writer. I was a learned writer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not giggly exciting to me. It's an exercise. And it's something that I wanted to produce and to give as a legacy and to give to the public, because it's what I've learned over the 30 years of coaching people. Mm-hmm. I think it was the exercise.
And but you drew upon what you know, and that's what people need to understand, that makes a really good book. What makes Cam or Associates different? And the answer is here. In the new work, you have laid out what you offer and what you've learned, and that's big.
That is big. Can I take you with me when I go on my interview?
Sure.
That was
why not?
Well said.
Well, hey, you know, I'm Peter's sitting here getting twitchy, so I better get over to him. But first, how do people contact you? They want to get your book. They want to talk with you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Many ways. They can use LinkedIn with my name. They can go to Facebook, and unfortunately, there are pictures of me everywhere. They can go to newworkthebook.com, which is a page dedicated to the book, and it's got the blog going on. It's got all kinds of secrets in it about being good about the hunt, the search.
Do you have something as simple and banal as an email address?
And a phone number.
That too.
My email address is my last name, KAMMER, at mindspring.com. The phone number is 404-459-5980.
Now, I know you're willing to just sit by while I turn in my chair and interview Peter, right?
Of course. Thank you.
Peter, you've been patient, and I'm looking forward to what you have to share with us. Welcome.
Thanks, Tim, for the invite. I appreciate it, and I'm glad to be here.
So, cognitive psychology, that impresses me. Talk to me about it.
I know nothing about it, actually.
I see. You just have the PhD in it, right?
Right. So, cognitive psychology is basically how people learn.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to clinical psychology, which is more behavioral, emotional, developmental.
That's what most people understand psychology to be.
Right.
Figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. But yours is... how people learn, is that sort of like some people learn better by hearing, others by seeing, stuff like that?
Yeah, kinesthetic, audio, tactile, that kind of thing. But I also involve a great deal of psychology in my coaching practice.
Mm-hmm.
When I studied cognitive psychology, it was part of the education program at Fordham University where I studied. So I sort of minored in cognitive psychology, but along the way, over 20 years, I picked up a lot of depth in developmental psychology during my own personal work, and now I apply it to my coaching work.
So help our listeners understand, what is developmental psychology? Is that like what you can do up until the age of five, or what?
Yeah, so it's how we grow emotionally, how we grow psychically, from in the womb until present day.
Goodness. Is that a field unto itself as well, or is that part of all the other ones out there?
Developmental psychology is a huge field. It's a huge field. It's a flavor of clinical psychology. It moves into clinical psychology, which is the pathology of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But developmental psychology is quite an open field, a large field.
So you have an understanding of all of these. How do you take that into your company? First, your company, did I say it right, True North Partnering?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Talk to us about that. I like that title.
Well, basically, True North is about heading in the right direction.
It came to me
after a meditation one day when I was searching for... a name for a company as I was rebranding myself last November. And True North Partnering came to me. And True North Partnering is basically how we stay focused on moving ahead in a way that supports our well-being.
Okay.
So True North Partnering can also be thought of as purpose. It can also be thought of as meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But True North is basically how do I move forward in terms of who I want to be and how I want to be in my life.
Now, you said that you came to this through meditation, but you're a PhD in psychology. What are you doing that woo-woo stuff meditating?
That's a good question.
Says he who spent 15 minutes this morning meditating.
Yeah. So 20 years ago, I sort of had a rebirth in my life. I was a religious person. I was a Catholic. But 20 years ago, I sort of had a life-changing experience where I gave up my religion but moved into along a path of spirituality. And spirituality is what brought me into getting in touch with myself on a deeper level, a different level, and part of that process included meditation.
Okay. All right. Who taught you how to meditate? Or was this part of your ongoing reading?
20 years ago is when I met my second wife, and she'd been a spiritual practitioner for years and years and years, and she introduced me to the quote-unquote spiritual life.
Okay.
And together, we joined a spiritual practice, a tradition called Diamond Heart out of Boulder, Colorado, and they introduced me to deeper forms of meditation. So I've been meditating ever since.
Okay. Was it hard to grab on to? You said you came out of a Catholic background, and that can be pretty regimental, but it has some meditative aspect to it because that church-created Lectio Divina created the examen. There's the rosary, which is actually a meditative process if you allow it.
I didn't allow it.
You didn't allow it. Okay.
I was very left-brained in those days, so I simply saw the church as tenets, doctrines, dogma, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't understand the spiritual aspect of religion.
Okay.
And now I do.
Well, that's helpful. But, what you lift up is that, not just the Catholic Church, but virtually every Protestant tradition or any tradition does have its dogma and its doctrine, and it's there for a reason, because that's what makes it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it oftentimes has the ability to lead us into a more meditative state. What I hear coming from you, Peter, is that you did a soul searching and you understood what was going on, and so you made a conscious decision. Am I doing you right by that?
Pretty close. I didn't know what was going on.
I took
a left turn into the spiritual path more because I knew what I didn't want.
Okay.
And through the practice of spirituality practices, then I sort of landed into a place where now I know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing what I want was a deeper understanding of who I am.
Do you take this into your work with your clients?
I do, in a sense that I'm a root cause kind of coach.
Okay.
I don't deal with symptoms. I go beneath symptoms to touch into root cause issues. And my approach with the psychological work that I do is a spiritual psychology. I've studied spiritual psychology now for some 20 years. And spiritual psychology always most often leads to what's underneath the obstacles that are getting in the way of you saying, of being who you say you want to be, of doing what you say you want to do. And most often, it's the root cause is some aspect of ego.
Mm-hmm.
And the aspect of ego is either a loss, a fear of a loss of control, recognition, or security. So in my work, I'd say 99% of my work supports folks to deal with the obstacles that get in the way of, like I said, being who they say they want to be and doing what they say they want to do. And most often, the root cause of the obstacles is some flavor of fear and resistance. So when I work with clients to move through fear and resistance, I'm not the kind of coach who does positive affirmations. I'm not the kind of coach who does positive thinking. We live in a world of duality. We live in a world of polarity. And you've got to look at the dark side,
mm-hmm.
the shadow side, as well as the good stuff. And so a lot of work that I do with my clients, if it's called for, will bring them to a place where they've got to take a deep breath and be comfortable, learn to be comfortable with their discomfort. And learning to be comfortable with your discomfort means, can you be okay with your fear? Can you be okay with your anger? Can you be okay with your rage? Because unless you look at that, unless you deal with that, you're not going to move forward. And if you do move forward, it'll usually be in some way, shape, or form that's artificial, that's fake or phony. And I also want to say now, for people who might be listening, saying, wait a minute, he's talking about psychology, this is coaching. I'm one of the few people on the planet who believes that inner work is not the sole domain of psychology itself. If you read a self-help book, you're doing inner work. If you go through Kit's book and some of the questions are deal with emotions, deal with feelings, that's inner work. So I'm not sure if that answers your question or not, but that's...
No, I like that, and I'm glad you raised that because that helps me frame my next question. Kit shared with us how people find her, and it came out of the work that she's done, and people would say, can we help? Can you help? Can you help? How do people find you? What leads them to say, I need Peter Vajda to work with me and get my head on straight?
Probably the answer to a question I would ask. We talked about elevator speeches before, and my stock answer to that is, as a coach, I support people to create results in their lives with a heightened sense of well-being. But if you were to ask me what I do as a coach, I would turn that around and say, Tim, can I ask you a question? So, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely. Right.
So, if you could show up as a better you in some aspect of your life, your personal life, your spiritual life, your life around personal organization, finances, fun, health, and any other number of life areas, what would that look like? What would that be like? What would that feel like? What would others be saying about you if you could show up as that better you? That tugs on people's sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
When I ask that question, I sometimes make people uncomfortable. And that's my purpose. If I can make you uncomfortable and make you aware of some discomfort, there may be a way. There may be a time that you'll admit of that discomfort mm-hmm. and see that discomfort and say, well, maybe I better talk to this guy. Maybe he can support me. So that's one way. I do my meetups and I go here and I go there and talk to people. But usually that's the question I ask. If you could show up as a better you, what would that look like?
Well, I like that question because that was one that was put to me by a therapist that I worked for a number of years. And the answer has turned out to be that better person, that more engaged being, is the host of Right Here, Right Now, and also an author.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so different from what I had been doing, but everything that I did way back when helped me to get to where I am today, plus the help of a professional that would ask those questions that I really didn't want to answer.
Mm-hmm. So can I add one thing?
Yeah.
So if I ask you the question, people may be listening saying this is really theoretical, this is really hypothetical, and all that kind of stuff. Once I ask you what that would look like, a next question would be, well, what would be the milestones along the way that would indicate you are moving in that direction? A next question would be, what are the obstacles
mm-hmm.
that would get in the way of you moving in that direction? And do you have tactics and strategies and steps to move through those obstacles? And then do you have a plan to get from here to there? And that's where the coaching comes in.
And that's great. I really like that. That's what made the difference for me in my own journey. I knew that one of the things that was important for me was to be able to have a job in which my salary was not dependent upon the decision of a committee. And so that I could make money commensurate to the amount of work that I put in, the creativity that I had behind it. And that has just been so freeing
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a good client, wouldn't I?
You'd be a great client.
Thank you. I needed that affirmation.
Nothing personal.
Nothing personal. You, if I recall correctly, you blog, right?
I don't blog.
What would you call? I see this body of material in my mind.
Yeah.
How would you describe it?
So I write a weekly piece called Food for Thought.
Okay.
And it's about, for lack of a better phrase, conscious living. Life at work, at home, at play, mm-hmm. and relationship, and all the various flavors of life at work, at home, at play, and in relationship. And I publish it. I send it out to a subscription list every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And hundreds of people, thousands of people around the world have picked it up. They pass it on to their friends. There's a website in particular that publishes it every week. It's a management issues website out of London, which... is focused on leadership and management, but they love the flavor of the spirituality flavor mm-hmm. of the Food for Thought pieces, and I'm one of their 10 thought leaders, and I've been doing that for 4 or 5 years. So that's basically what I do, is I write this piece every Friday, send it out, and my intention is that it's going to go to where it needs to go in the universe, that people will pick it up, they'll pass it on. I've gotten lots of feedback over the years from people who said, we want to use it in our workshop, we want to use it in our training program, we want to put it in a chapter in a book, that kind of thing. So I just set my intention that, part of my purpose in life is to assist people to learn, to grow, and to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the intentionality behind it. But speaking of blogging, I'm talking to my IT person this week about creating a blog,
mm-hmm.
And using some of this material in a blog.
Okay. So if you've been writing this weekly article for about 5 years, you've got about 250 articles, give or take 10.
I have a book.
Do you? Talk to me about that.
You would have to ask. I think.
Oh, that's part of what I do.
Yeah.
I ask the tough questions.
You do ask the tough questions.
My turn.
So, talk to you about that. I think if I talk to you about that, Tim, it would be about the challenge of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and I've talked to you about this offline.
Yeah.
I've conflicted about what to put in, what not to put in. I'm conflicted about the frame, how to frame it. I'm conflicted about the direction of it, the purpose of it. I have all this material, but I don't know. I'm not the kind of person who has a publishing mind,
uh-huh.
An editor's mind, and I don't know what to do with it. I think you had asked me, or somebody had asked me a while ago, whether I'm procrastinating about it. And my answer is, I don't know. So
sounds like procrastinating to me. Yeah. No,
so,
I understand.
So I'm just in this place now where I don't know what the next step is. And I spoke to a fellow a month ago who said, you should do an audio book rather than do a print book. He said, the kind of interview you're doing with me now, we could do a series of CDs and do an audio book. And you could go through your topics and the information in your Food for Thought pieces in an interview format. And I said, maybe, that's a possibility.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that, though. You still have to figure out what's going to go into those interviews. You still have to frame it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you're writing it or speaking it, because I've got clients who speak it. You still have to know where we're going with it.
I think that's true. And I also think that if the interviewer knows their stuff, they can guide the conversation in such a way that I can get through all my stuff,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily in a linear way.
Mm-hmm.
That I can touch on what I need to touch on. I can touch on the particular points that I need to make over the course of, how long does it take to do 4 CDs? I don't know. But I can say what I have to say. I can tug on people's sleeves in the way I can tug on people's sleeves. I can ask the challenging questions and the difficult questions in an interview, but I don't know at 9 o'clock where it's going to go at 9:10 or where it's going to go at 9:30. But I do know that I can stay pretty well on focus given my body of work. I'm not going to deviate away from my body of work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For example, I could have gone off this morning and really talked about cognitive psychology,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to, actually. I need to bring it back into what I do and my
Absolutely.
Purpose for doing it. So I
Absolutely.
Can do that in an audiobook, but yet, I don't know.
And I agree, and not as defense, but to help our listeners know, I began with that because that was in your introduction, and I know folks are sitting there thinking, cognitive psychology, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And it is unique for you as a coach because you're more than just a coach. And, kid, I don't say just a coach in a diminutive kind of fashion because I know coaches are good. And what I'm going to do, having done that, got her attention. Peter, give us your contact information, and then I'm going to open it up for you guys to talk back and forth.
Oh, first I'll spell my last name. It's V as in Victor, A, J, D as in David, A. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Peter Vajder. You can find me at my website, True North Partnering, PARTNERING.com, TrueNorthPartnering.com. You can email me at pvajder, at truenorthpartnering.com. My phone number is 770-804-9125.
Great. I appreciate that. Now, you've been making copious notes here. Now, maybe that's for yourself, but I wonder, Kit, have a question for Peter out of all of this?
Well, first off, I always take notes.
Okay.
Because it's not clear to me how I can remember all the wonderful things that I hear. Do I have questions for Peter?
Into the mic, please.
Into the mic, please.
Thank you. Andy's poised.
Andy, go for it, Andy. Go for it, Andy.
I feel the need to jump to the rescue here.
Absolutely.
Actually, you may be sorry you invited me here. I try not to ask too many tough questions, but I've got what I feel like.
Somebody has to.
Yeah, I feel like this is a little more than a softball question, perhaps. We'll see how you guys do with it, and maybe both of you can jump in on it. Peter actually kind of brought it to my attention. You know, being in the coaching world myself, I see this a lot. I see coaches struggling with the same thing they coach clients on, you know. So I was just curious, how do you guys eat your own cooking? I mean, I'm listening to what Peter's saying, and it sounds like, I mean, if I were not knowing what you did for a living, the first thing I'd say is, Peter, you probably need a coach. So, you know, who do you guys engage for coaching, and how do you apply your own tactics and principles to overcome the challenges that we all face? Because clearly we all do run into them.
Well, if you're can I speak to that? What's clear to me is that I need to be coached in everything at almost any time. So I surround myself with excellent people who I consider to be far more advanced in areas than I. And I want the answer yesterday. I am the business model. Is that I just want to go. I want to speak to being just a coach. I use for 20 years. I've used something called the Berkman Method, mm-hmm. created by Dr. Roger Berkman, a psychologist out of Houston, that gives people 40 pages of material on who they are, what motivates them, what interests them, how they manage others, and where their obstacles are. And the lovely thing in the last 10 years is what the remedies are. Partner that with a 360 in their work situation to give them anonymous feedback as to how they're perceived by others. And what you've got is an action plan that comes out of that, which is what is it that you would like to work on? Because people get a lot of material from that. And then that becomes the milestones, the obstacles, and then deadlines, because that's what business wants. It wants everything yesterday.
Peter.
So... First, I'd say that the spiritual program that I've been involved in for 20 years is based on what's known as depth psychology. It has to do with ego development, psychic development, emotional development. I've been through it all. I've been in groups ever since day one of this program. I've been in large groups. I've been in small groups. I've been in individual therapy.
You've got a group that you lead right now as well, right?
Not at this particular point, but I did up until a few years ago. I was doing a men's group.
Okay.
So psycho-emotionally, I've been there and I've done that. And I have a spiritual coach that I've been working with every 2 weeks for these 19 years. So I've been through the dark night of the soul. I've been through my shadow side, and I continue to explore in depth my psycho-emotional side. So it's really important for me to say that right now, because I don't take a client anywhere where I don't want to go. And I have to say in all honesty that I know coaches who, when their clients move into a place of emotion, for example, start to cry or get rageful, the coach changes direction because the coach becomes uncomfortable because they haven't done their own stuff. And I find it very hypocritical, if I may say so.
Absolutely.
I also have another coach who keeps my feet to the fire in terms of just leading my life. My business life, my social life, all life areas that I work on where I still have challenges that I have to deal with and that I am dealing with. So does that answer your question?
It's certainly hitting around it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, let me jump in on that, because I think it's a great, I know it's a great question, Andy, because I do the same thing. I have a writing coach, and I've always had a writing coach even before I was a writer because I wanted to write. And if I'm going to be working with people on their writing, I need to be working on my own writing. I also have a spiritual coach because that's been so important to me, and some people still turn to me for spiritual direction. So if I'm going to be advising people, like Peter said, I've got to continually deal with my stuff so that I don't allow my stuff to get in the way of others. And so I would throw it out to people who are listening that if you're thinking about employing any kind of coach, one of the first questions you need to ask that person is, are you being coached? And I don't want to say don't go to them if they aren't, but pause and think about that.
I'd almost step on as far as don't go. I mean, if somebody doesn't eat their own cooking, I mean, you're in a problem. It's like taking weight loss advice from a fat person. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
To speak to this idea, and I think it was great, Kit, you addressed this, it doesn't mean you have to go out and you have to employ a coach for every area of your life, but surrounding yourself with the right people is critically important.
Absolutely, and it's more than just a mastermind group sometimes. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes mastermind groups will work, but we've got to be careful that they're not just a feel-good. So who's your coach, Andy?
I have a number of coaches. I'm like Kit. I surround myself with a lot of people that provide mentorship and provide me with the things that I need to make sure that I hit all areas. Peter touched on this too, which I thought was really good. You know, some people will get this idea, well, I need a X type of coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's about life balance too. I mean, you've got to be tapping into the mental, the spiritual, the physical. I mean, if you don't have that balance, you're going to be out of round. Yeah, you might be, you know, hey, I've got this, you know, I'm going to use writing as an example. Hey, I'm a great writer, but my writing's going to struggle if I'm spiritually, emotionally, and mentally out of balance.
Exactly. Yeah,
there's no compartmentalization in life. That's my orientation. You can't separate it out that way.
You're right. Absolutely.
Well, what I appreciate about both you, Kit, and Peter, and you as well, Andy, and I live with that every week with you, is that you as coaches are willing to acknowledge, and as you have on air, that you know what you need to do to deal with your own stuff, and you're about it. And I think that in itself sets you apart from so many others that are out there. Yeah, I pushed you a little bit, Kit, about, you know, music and now you're a coach. Some people say ministry and you're a writer. I say, well, yeah, but then I did write an essay a week for 25 years, you know, so I was practicing. But we don't have to be in what we started out to be if we follow and listen and just have a feel for what we need to do and then keep the right people at hand to help us.
And we have 5 to 7 careers in our lives on average. So my question is, what's the job for today? What is it that you're doing? But what is it that fulfills you? What's next year and 5 years out and 10 years out? What do you need to be doing, participating in to groom that? And can you be doing two different things, your vocation and your avocation? Your fulfillment comes in from many different sectors.
That's a great place. Can I touch on something real quick before we run out of time today?
Andy's dangerous, isn't he?
I am. Well, I just love your perspective on this because, you know, we've heard a lot of people in the past few years in the coaching industry, and it's all about passion. Pursue your passion. In fact, I saw somebody the other day on Facebook. They were trying to figure out what to cut out of their life, and somebody said, well, if you don't enjoy doing it, then stop that. And I'm thinking, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense because if I never did anything that I didn't enjoy, I'd never get anything done. So how do you balance passion, be happy, pursue, you know, your life purpose, but at the same time understand there's going to be some work involved and some things that you're going to, Peter, as you said, less comfortable doing.
Doing what you love to do does not mean it's on the happy end of the spectrum 24/7, 365. What it means is you effort, you don't struggle. And there's a difference. So doing what you love to do takes a lot of effort. There are some challenges, but the energy you bring to it is completely different from the energy you would bring to doing something you don't like to do. That's where the passion comes in. That's where if the passion and the energy are in sync, then you've got a win-win situation. A lot of people are passionate about what they do. They have no energy. A lot of people have a lot of energy and motivation. They have no passion. So the idea is to find out what is it that brings those two entities together, the passion and the energy, and then sort of what would that look like in my life?
If we had an applause audio file, I'd play it right now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You have come through with great questions, as you always do, Andy, and you're absolutely right. The clock is on us. And Have you noticed, Andy, the past 2 weeks now, I've gone way over what I usually do?
I was going to say, you'll see that reflected in your bill later. No, I'm kidding.
No. Well, I know what
it's not my bill.
A little extra airtime charge.
Yeah.
It's like your cell plan. You know, you're over your minutes. We're gonna.
The guests have been phenomenal, and we just get into it, and it's great. But the clock is on us, and we always welcome your comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests. And if you would like to recommend a guest or even be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. I'm going to break away from script and say, but please figure out the format of Right Here, Right Now before you do that. I've had a lot of people of late recommend somebody, and I've had to say, help me understand how they fit into what we try to do here. So send us an email, whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Andy, for co-hosting, keeping me on track, taking me over time, and asking questions.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
I know. It is. It is. And thank you to our guests, Catherine Kit Kammer and Peter Vajda. Kit, your contact information one more time.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Email, last name, K-A-M-M-E-R at mindspring.com, 404-378-4454. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, and the website for the book is newworkthebook.com.
Okay. Thanks. And Peter, your contact information?
TrueNorthPartnering.com. P. Vajda, V as in Victor, A, J, D as in David, A, P. Vajda at TrueNorthPartnering.com, and Peter Vajda on LinkedIn.
Great. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about Right Choice Services and how we help individuals write the book they've always wanted to write at www.write, that's W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. I hope you'll join us next week and tell your friends about the show. In fact, I encourage you always to send them an email now to invite them to listen live or to the MP3 downloads. Right Here, Right Now, broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock Eastern Time at righterightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.